Praise Him by Harlan Burke and the Gospel OGs. Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, coming at you live from Skid Row Studios. And I'm in the studio with my co-host, Earlene Anthony. Our call-in number is 1-800-893-9562. Now, this week on the Qumran Report, we will hear some more community voices about veterans in the downtown and Skid Row area with the Veterans Advocacy Connection with Irene Cruz and Teresa Thompson. Welcome to the Qumran Report.
Thank you, Melvin.
And also sitting in here for a while is Ms. Mella over there. Ms. Mella, welcome to the Qumran Report.
Hello.
Now, let me start off, since we're talking about veterans, I'm going to just throw a little question off, a few little questions. What is the biggest problems for homeless veterans in the downtown and Skid Row area?
Well, I would say probably long-term housing. There's transitional housing, which would include shelters and things like that, but I think long-term, stable housing might be one of the biggest issues, along with substance abuse, mental illness, mm-hmm. And those kind of things paired together. With respect to just people down in Skid Row, outside of being a veteran, I don't know if they have that added component of having like case management or somebody mm-hmm. counseling and things like that.
You're talking about co-occurring problems when they're dealing with homelessness and drug abuse, substance mm-hmm. abuse. Now, why would veterans, with all of their benefits, why would this be a problem for veterans in the downtown Skid Row area?
Many of the veterans don't know they have the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
I work with other veterans, and we have veterans that, you know, they can come to me where I work, like even today, having someone come to me, and they really just don't know what's available, and they find out, oh, wow, thanks, that was all great information, because they don't know. They're not educated about what's available to them, mm-hmm. and whether they're on Skid Row or not, that's one of the big problems. They don't know what's available. They don't know they can get transitional housing. They don't know what programs are available to get long-term permanent housing. Mm-hmm. And that's what my job entails, is in educating them and letting them know. It's like, okay, well, you can do this or you can do this. You know, let them know that there are benefits there and they have choices that they can make in regards to how they want to go. Do they want to try to get their VASH, or do they want to try to get the SSVF to help them? Do they want to stay in the transitional Grant Per Diem program for a while? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, are they just looking for temporary shelter? Mm-hmm. So they have to know that programs are available. And, you know, it just surprises many of them when they find out the number of programs that are available to them.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, a couple of things. I want to ask about the substance abuse thing, too. But I also want to ask about veterans, honorably discharged veterans, have a loan guarantee for a house or a business. What is the holdup in making veterans aware of this, or to be able to take advantage of it? Because I know in a lot of the southern states, a lot of veterans, they immediately get a house or something mm-hmm. like that. I know it's different out here. The real estate is so high.
Yeah.
Or a business, because mm-hmm. The VA is supposed to guarantee a loan for a business or a house. What is the hold up in terms of making veterans aware of that?
Well, when you use the word guarantee,
mm-hmm.
it's not what you think.
Mm-hmm.
It's not guaranteed that you'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to qualify. And then, mm-hmm. like you said, California is a lot different because of the extra cost of, well, I won't say extra cost, but the higher cost of real estate here in California.
Mm-hmm.
in actuality, a VA loan is harder to qualify for than an FHA loan. Mm-hmm. The only, well, I won't say the only, but the major benefit of a VA loan is there's times you don't have to put any money down.
Okay, they guarantee
you don't
the
have
collateral
to put any money down, but you mm-hmm. do have to have so much in the bank.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so with the real estate property, real estate value and the cost being so much more out here, that means you have to have more in the bank than you would in other states.
Well, how about for a business? If you want to try to get a loan, because they say it's supposed to guarantee for a business or a house or something like that.
Again, the word guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
It just means, well, in this, I think in these cases, the word guarantee means that it is available, but you still have to, again, you still have
qualify.
To qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So the SBA does have programs to, if you want to start your own business, they will help you free of charge in doing your paperwork, and they have classes that you can take to teach you how to run your business.
Mm-hmm.
They also have classes in case you're not quite sure exactly what type of business you want to go to into, mm-hmm. and they talk about the different things, the paperwork, mm-hmm. Filing, IRS, and all those things that come along with the business. They will help you in that respect, but at the end of the day, you are still responsible for whatever that business does.
Mm-hmm. What about being in terms of qualification? Being an honorably discharged veteran don't automatically qualify a person for it?
Well, you mean as far as the home loan?
The business.
Or the business?
Yeah.
That I'm not 100% sure on if you have to have, if you're, what am I trying to say?
I know you have to have
if you're
other
discharged.
Criteria.
Yeah.
If, besides that, you have to have fulfill certain criteria that they request.
Yeah, because so many veterans ask me about that in relationship to business, and I'm looking into that myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a veteran, I want everything that I can get from Uncle Sam.
Right.
In terms of being a veteran, you know, if it's a difference between if it's an advantage, I want to know what the advantage is.
Well, there's things that they look at when when you're first starting out. They, the banks and everything, they're going to take in consideration your personal credit score,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because you are not established yet.
Yeah.
Your personal credit score does have something to do with you being able to establish your business.
Yeah.
So if it's too low, they may say no, and they may. They mm-hmm. have. They also have other things in place to help you build your credit score up.
Wait a minute. So. How about if a veteran is going into business with two non-veterans? Is that an asset or a liability?
It just depends on what type of business you're going into.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have many different programs, because I've been checking into the mm-hmm. business aspect of it. And they have different programs aimed at veterans, mm-hmm. even for female veterans. We went to the Female Veterans Entrepreneur Network,
yeah.
and there were a lot of resources there that we were able to get information about that will give loans, training, classes, not just the SBA, but other organizations, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like getting the information, getting the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what many veterans need, mm-hmm. is the knowledge. Like, we went to that and spent the whole day there and got a chance to meet other people. They had different classes for us that we got a chance to go to. So mm-hmm. we got a chance to find out, oh, wow, that's available. Oh, this is available. Oh, we do this and we offer this and the banks and, you know, programs through the banks and stuff. So there's a lot of information out there. You just have to find the information and go to those events that will provide that information you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gives you those resources to know what's available. Then you can make, you know, wise decisions about, okay, do I want to do this? How do I do this? Okay, I've never been in business before. Maybe I need to take a class. Maybe I need to do this. You know, some people are born with that gift of just doing business and knowing what to do without ever having taken a class. Mm-hmm. And then there are some that need to go to a class and learn how to write a business plan and how to do this and, you know, do it step by step so that they can be successful. Because that's the whole point of it, is being successful and not letting it fail within 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so the information is out there. It's just finding out about it and learning more about it and educating yourself. You know, with the internet, we can find all kind of stuff online. Mm-hmm. And we just have to start using that resource to find the information that we need.
Well, let me ask you this. In a situation for veterans, because I like to see more veterans, especially in the downtown Skid Row area, that little knocking is something coming from the speakers. We thought it was a ghost in the last week. No, that's fine. But I like to see more veterans start business. Get into business, figure out some kind of way to, even if it's a little small business and stuff like that.
And those veterans can hire other veterans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, in relationship to that.
Okay. But again, it's not as easy as as people think. Because, yes, the SBA can help you write a business plan. They can help you secure startup capital and things like that. But once that's done, it's up to that person. So you have to have that entrepreneur spirit. You have to have that fortitude, because when you're starting your own business, you have to work a lot more hours than if you were at a job.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of
hats.
People think, well, I'm tired of working 8 hours and somebody telling me what to do. Well, if you're starting out as an entrepreneur, lots of time you're working 16, 20 hours in a day because you are trying to start this business, trying to get it off the ground. And like Teresa said, you have to wear a lot of hats. You have to be the marketer. You have to be the salespeople. You have
tech
to
person.
Be the mail room, the tech person, everything.
I think it's worth it in the long run instead of working for people. Mm-hmm. One more little thing before we go to a quick community calendar and come back for your section. You mentioned about one of the problems for veterans down there, substance abuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there should be a separate substance abuse model for veterans as opposed to the way that they have it now, you know, with all the traditional substance abuse methods that they just utilize as a group? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, they have different programs at the VA hospital. They have programs for substance abuse. They have, in some of the transitional housing, they have substance abuse. Now, the model that they're using, I'm not sure if it's the regular model or is it one geared specifically to the problems that veterans have encountered, you know, with PTSD, you know, and all the other things, traumatic brain injury and other things that may come into play, the trauma that they've experienced from being in war or being a veteran, and may have a different foundation for the reason why they're using the drugs, the substances. So, but they have programs out there to help them. They do. And, you know, it's what's effective. You know, do they need to change the program just because the person is a veteran? If it's being effective, and if it's not being effective, then maybe they do need to make a change because they're not addressing some of the issues that a veteran would have. So it's very important that they look at that, you know, because the veteran, especially those who have gone to Afghanistan, Iran, Operation Desert Storm, or even Vietnam, you know, they might have different issues that need to be brought to the light and talked about. And I don't know if they're doing that, but it's something that they can think about and look at.
One more question. We was talking about it earlier. Do you think it's a disadvantage to see all of these different organizations, veteran organizations that separate themselves, like a Iraqi Veterans Association? I've seen some organizations that call themselves Afghanistan and Iraqi Veterans Organization. Well, do you think it's better that veterans loop together and fight as a unit?
Well, you got different issues. You know, it's just different issues mm-hmm. because you have the veterans that are from Afghanistan and Iraq. These are younger veterans. They have different issues than somebody that's from the Vietnam era.
What's different?
It's the age difference compared to Vietnam veterans who are, 50s, 60s now? Going into their 70s.
Mm-hmm. Some World War II veterans.
Right, World War II veterans. You got 80-some-year-old men mm-hmm. because I've had to deal with a World War II veteran. And his issues were different than somebody who was from the Vietnam era. Mm-hmm. And then the Vietnam era is different from somebody who's young and vital at 28, 30 years old mm-hmm. that has different needs. The needs are different. Mm-hmm. So the services are going to have to be different. Mm-hmm. And so when you have the different organizations that are targeting, they are working on those specific needs that young man has compared to another organization working with Vietnam veterans who should be in that retirement age mm-hmm. and is getting ready to, needs to prepare for, or should be prepared for those latter years. And then the World War II veteran who's already there, does he need housing, assisted mm-hmm. home living? Mm-hmm. Does he need independent living? You know, it's different needs.
Yeah.
And so you have these different organizations working to address those different needs.
Yeah, because that's why I think it's such a big problem because you're dealing with one huge establishment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to when I see Afghanistan, Iraqi veteran organization over here, Vietnam veteran over here, I just think that's a weakness. I think we have to, as a unit, figure out how to deal with the establishment and get what veterans are supposed to be getting back.
I hear what you're saying, mm-hmm. and I agree, but I also think that. Individually, in the individual groups, like Teresa was saying, there are some differences. Mm-hmm. They can relate in the sense of like where they were, what they had to go through at that time. They can relate, mm-hmm. but when the issue turns to standing up for all veterans, I think we all need to come together. We are all veterans,
yes.
regardless. Then if you want to go into your little groups or silos or whatever you want to call them and discuss specifics about your experience or your time in the military, then that's okay too. But I think we need to come together as mm-hmm. veterans to deal with the bigger picture mm-hmm. because you know, it's always more power in numbers.
Okay. You got your caller on now. Let us quickly do the community calendar, and then we'll hold the caller, and we'll go right into the caller. Yeah.
This is the community calendar for upcoming events. On Monday, January the 19th, 2015, on the Qumran Report from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., we will be celebrating and discussing Dr. King. A special guest will be Russell Brown, Stephen Fisk, and Leonardo Nelson. On Wednesday, January the 21st, 2015, at 6 p.m., the Veterans Community Theater Workshop presents the Nasana Play Reading Series. We will present a stage play entitled Indictment, State of Missouri. And this is a play about the Ferguson's trial, written and directed by Odell Ruffin. The location of the event will be the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 921. The Vortex is located at the corner of Olympic and Santa Fe. This is a free event. Donations are accepted, and all are welcome to attend. For contact information, it's oruffin@hotmail.com. Once again, contact information is oruffin@hotmail.com. Beginning on February the 4th, 2015, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., we're going to have what is called Tech Talk Retreat. This will be held on the first Wednesday of the month. and it will be dealing with the Skid Row Studio show hosts, the engineers and interns. And we will be discussing ways and means of the show hosts to meet each other and to promote in the current shows and support each other, and also for the new shows that's coming up. And we'll also have people come in and share their expertise. The location of this will be the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 921. And contact information for the Tech Talk Retreat, you can call 213-908-6587 or 213-479-1764. If you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Early and Anthony. The call-in number for our show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our hosts.
Okay, we're going to, I'm going to flip it over to the Veterans Advocates Connection, and then you guys can take the phone call within the orbit of your show. So here's the Veterans Advocates Connection.
I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps between 1984 and 1990. I was stationed here in Tustin, California, and I was in air traffic control communications tech. So I've been a veteran for about 24 years, and I joined the American Legion approximately about 4 years ago. And it is an opportunity to assist other veterans who have been going through a difficult transition.
That having veterans work with veterans would be more effective, because we can relate to some of the issues that they're dealing with. So they hired our veterans to work with them. So we're like veterans benefit counselors. We counsel them about the services that are available to them, and then we help them navigate their way through those services to get what they need. Mm-hmm. But it's housing, employment, it might be something simple as ordering a DD-214 or getting their ID. Down here on Skid Row, we have many people that don't have their ID. So we can help them get their ID.
Hi, this is the Veterans Advocacy Connection. I'm your host, Irene Cruz.
And I'm Teresa Thompson.
I'd like to just make one quick announcement for an event that's going on Saturday, January 17th from 7 p.m. to midnight. There's a transitional housing facility that recently was evicted for women veterans, and they're having a fundraiser at the VFW Post 8070, which is located at 250 East 1st Street, Azusa, California, 91702. And for more information, you can call area code 323-943-8053, and the donation amount is $10. We have a caller that would like to talk about their experiences in trying to find housing. Hello, caller. Can you state your name, please?
My name is Rick.
Hi, Rick. And you're a veteran. Can you tell us just a brief synopsis of your experience?
Well, you know, it's a lot of people out there that say they're helping. They mean well. But what I've experienced is that they're all concerned with getting the grant and following the stipulations to the point where a lot of times you don't get help. If they can't help you with one program, they don't send you to another program. Say, like FSDF is one program, and VASH is a Section 8 program. The VASH. Well, if you get SSDF, you can't get VASH. So you have to get the VASH voucher first and then get the SSDF. And nobody, tells you these things. So you get a lot of runaround. And I'd like to make a comment that, about vet to vet. Obviously, this is the first time that the reserves and the National Guard has been used as extensively as they have. So you have a lot of 50-year-old vets getting out, coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq. I think that we should be together and stop this divide and conquer. It's not that many veterans, period. And when you start dividing up in Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, World War II, we're all proud of our times of service, but we're all vets.
Right.
And the older vets can help the younger vets because we've been out there and we've had to go through what they've gone through. We've all had gone through the same thing. Readjusting to civilian life can be difficult.
Rick, can you tell us how long are you in housing right now? And can you tell us?
No, I'm not. I'm not in housing.
How long have you been looking? How long have you been looking for housing?
Over a year.
Wow.
You know, the thing is, they want to send you to a shelter. I'm a vet. You go to a shelter and you're in with our convicts and other people. And I don't relate to that. So I think that there needs to be the consideration that one size fits all, this cookie cutter approach is not working.
So is there something in particular that you would like to see based on your experience? Are there veterans that you've talked to that have shared this same experience?
Yeah, I've had vets that basically, you know, the people who get service are the ones that know the game. You know, if you want to get off the streets and just go in there and say, I got a substance abuse problem, and you're good. Mm-hmm. But what if you don't want to put that jacket on? You see what I'm saying? So.
Right. Okay, I need to ask some.
I've had to do that.
Rick. Hi, I'm Teresa, and I just want, because I work with veterans who are looking for housing, and I want to know, did you already apply for your VASH housing?
Yes, I went out to the VA the week before Christmas, and I haven't got any response from them yet. I know things work slow, so I've got my fingers crossed.
So you said you've been looking for a year, so you're just now starting to apply for the VASH housing?
Yes.
Okay. Why did it take so long? Was it because you didn't know
I didn't know where to go.
Okay. Okay. And that's one of the things we've talked about.
I think that the city has a veterans department and the county. I think that they should basically utilize those departments and then send the vets to the agencies for help. Because going to the agencies is not working. Because they want to keep you in their program.
Okay.
No agency has helped me. It's other veterans. I had to go, what's up, man? Well, oh, now you need to go over here. You need to go over there. Why they didn't tell me that in there with it? See, that's the problem I face.
Okay, so you just applied for the VASH. And are you living in transitional housing now or a shelter?
No.
Oh, okay. Because usually when you apply for the VASH, you're homeless. And it is going to take time. It does take time. Believe me, I know myself from applying for it that it's going to take time. And it takes a little while before they get all the paperwork, and then they're going to send you over here, and they're going to send you over there. And, you know, it will eventually come to pass. And I've worked with other veterans who've also applied for it, and it took a while, but they eventually got it. And with the SSVF, that is a different program. I've had veterans who were moving out of transitional housing, and they went to an organization. They did not go to the VA, but to a separate organization that they were referred to, and they were able to get the down payment, first and last month's rent plus security or whatever they needed.
Like that,
to move in. And then if they still needed the help for 6 months, SSVF will pay for their housing for 6 months, and then after that they have to be able to continue the payments on their own.
Well, see, that's the problem. If you go to VASH, and you get the VASP voucher, then you can use the SSVF to get you into the housing, and then you've got your Section 8 that'll take care of it. But if you go SSVF first, you don't qualify for the VASP voucher.
Right. Yeah, because the VASP is for when you don't have any housing to keep you from being on the streets. That's that Section 8 housing.
You're back on the street.
Yeah.
For veterans over 40, this job market is treacherous. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
That's another issue that is not really addressed.
6 months is not enough. And then when some of these agencies, when they're talking about SSVF, well, how are you going to pay for it? You need to get unemployed. How do you get employed and homeless? It's like, are you crazy?
Well, have you tried any of the Grant Per Diem programs so you can be in that until... Because with Grant Per Diem, you get 2 years, okay? And after the two
See,
years...
That's the first I've ever heard of this program. This is what I'm saying. The information is just not out there.
Okay. Well, the Grant Per Diem program, if you get into one of those, you can stay in it for 2 years. And you get 3 of those in your lifetime. And if you have medical issues, issues that you're dealing with that may garner you another one, they can give you another one. But generally, it's 2 years. At the Weingart, they give you 3 meals a day. You don't have to pay anything. You have your own room. They have other places where they want 30% of your income, but it's a Grant Per Diem program, or they want to set a set rate that you pay each month. So there are programs like that where you don't have to be out on the street. And a lot of people, I didn't know about the Grant Per Diem program until I started working with the program I'm with. And most veterans don't know about it, that you can stay in a place, transitional housing for 2 years, which will give you time to get a job, to get yourself together, to relax, chill out, get yourself together, find a job, start working. And then as you get stronger and saving money, because that's one of the main requirements, is that you save a large percentage of your money because you're not having to pay it. The ones you don't have to pay at, they want you to save your money, not just go out there and spend it. And then after 2 years, you're in the same boat you were in before. And so I've seen veterans who have used it to their benefit by saving as much money, stacking money. And at the end of 2 years, they walked out, you know, with, hey, 10 grand or 15 grand that they've managed, they worked and saved and did without stuff. And when they left, they had a nice sum to carry them on as they got into their housing, whether they use VASH or whether they use SSVF. So there are other programs available that not just VASH and SSVF, but just to get you started and get you on the track, on board again, you know, with getting your life back together, you can start with the transitional housing through the Grant Per Diem program.
Okay, thank you for that. Is there a number that I can call somebody and get further information?
Yeah, you can call me. I'm generally at the Central Library, and my number is 213-593. 598-4046. And I'm generally there from 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning until it might be 5, 6 o'clock. I left today about 6:15, 6:30 before I left. So, you know, we're there unless we're in training or we're out doing outreach. But, you know, there are options for you where you don't have to be on the streets.
Ask for Teresa.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Have a good day.
You too.
And you know, you was talking earlier about the housing difference, housing loans. Now, I'm from the South in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to go back home, I could get possibly a 4-bedroom house with living room, formal dining room, patio, porch, garage, about $200,000+, okay?
Right. I could beat you because I'm from Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. Mississippi, you can beat me for sure. You can get you a house in the backwoods for about $100,000.
Right.
$50,000 in some places.
With a lake.
Yeah. So you know, it makes a difference. It's much harder out here to be able to get more veterans into that type of housing because you're talking a little rundown two-bedroom place may run you $500,000, $300,000. I was looking at some new places, and they say in the high 500,000s, you know, and it's just like a three-bedroom
and the rooms are so small.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I go back home and I look at my friends' homes and they got these gigantic places, look like mansions. And, you know, they pay, this only costs us, we built this house and it only costs us $500,000. And it's a mansion, something you pay $1 million, $2 million for out here.
Yeah, back there,
it's $500,000 or less, you know. And if you get one that's already been lived in, then hey, I'm talking about building a house for $500, a mansion for $500. That's why you have a lot of people going back south wanting to build houses. But veterans out here, just to get into a condo, you can find some little whacked condo for maybe $150,000 to $200,000. That might be a studio condo or one bedroom that you can find.
What was this Rick was talking about? How do a veteran get past that paradox? Because I see a lot of veterans dealing with that between these two different programs she was talking about, the VASH and the other ones.
But see, you have to...
You have to talk.
Yeah.
You have to ask questions. And a lot of times, the information is coming... The vets are sharing information. And one of the things he said is, which I want to elaborate on a little bit, when you're in the military, everybody is in the military with you on the base. So it seems like there's a lot of people because on the base, that's like a whole community. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a whole little city. Mm-hmm. But once you get out, there's not that, you know, unless you become connected with other vets on a day-to-day basis, lots of times you don't run into any vets. Mm-hmm. So that's why... it is actually important for vets to go to the VA. And I know some don't like to go to the VA, but if you go to the VA, you're going to connect with other vets who can tell you where to go.
Right.
Because otherwise, I mean, if you just ask somebody on the street, they're not nine and three quarter times out of ten, they're not going to. You know, nobody's going to know where to direct you. They're going to tell you to go to DPSS or, you know, something like that, or go to the city. But,
Well, let me ask you, do the veterans need the same kind of type of retreat that, that we're trying to develop for the Skid Row studio hosts so it can be in a different, more relaxed atmosphere so veterans can come together and share information like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's one of the reasons why I put on the second Saturday of every month, I put on a Women Veterans Roundtable to let women vets come and be in a safe safe environment, a more relaxed environment.
Informal information.
And bring other people in to come and talk about different things. Sometimes we have topics. Sometimes I just let them vent. You know, if there's things they want to vent about and things that they're going through, and there may be another vet in the room who experienced that same thing and can say, oh, no, you need to go over here or you need to go talk to this person. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's important to have, like he said, that vet to vet connection. Mm-hmm. And that's why some of the agencies that I talk to, that's one of the things that I explain to them, that veteran's first initial contact needs to be another vet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them don't hire, even though they say they help vets and work with vets, but that initial person that the vet comes in contact with needs to be another vet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that trust issue, it's that camaraderie, it's somebody that you don't have to go and explain every little thing to somebody who gets it and who understands and who can ask the right questions to find out exactly what you need, because sometimes they won't open up to somebody because they feel either one, they're going to be judged by the other person, or they feel the other person is not going to even understand, so why even bother saying it?
Well, let me ask you this, because I know you guys are deep into your show, but I must ask you this. We're getting ready to work and try to develop a program called Project Reconnect, mm-hmm. which is geared totally for the people in Skid Row that's living in the tents and the boxes and stuff like that. Our plan is to work with these religious organizations, hopefully with Reverend Murray and groups like that on the outside, Reverend Cecil Murray, on how to transition these tent dwellers and mm-hmm. the ones in the boxes back into the community through their churches and organizations and stuff like that. And now, how do we make the homeless veterans a part of that component too? How would you, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of homeless veterans living in tents and mm-hmm. and all, they probably so traumatized that they can't even come in. And you're talking about trying to work out the issues between VASH and this other organization. That's just too heavy for them. And how do we make veterans that's living in these tents part of that component also?
One, listening. It needs to listen to them and find out exactly what it is that they want. That's one component in to take steps into helping them regain their dignity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And to get them to open up.
And finding out what they need, because there may be mental issues that need to be dealt with. And we can put on all the programs we want to help someone. But if they have issues that are beyond your scope mm-hmm. that need to be addressed professionally, then you have to have professional people there to work with them, to find out where they're at, what can be done to start them on that road to recovery. Mm-hmm. Because if you've been living on the streets in a tent for a year, 2 years, 3 years, I think the psychic changes, you
it
know.
Does.
There's a yeah. difference in the psychic because you're living almost like an animal. Think about it. To use the restroom, you can't just, you know, go into another room and there's a toilet there and wash your hands and use it. You know, you have to find a place or find a way to take care of that part of your life. When it comes to food, sure, there's many places around here to eat and stuff, but maybe you just want a cup of hot noodles. You know, you have to find a place to go and do that. It changes your attitude and the way people look at you.
Mm.
You know, when you're down the street, all the people around you and the cussing and the fighting and the trash and all of that mm-hmm. stuff, it's going to change your whole psyche. So if a person has been out there for a year or longer and haven't, you know, they become complacent in that state, then you got to change. There needs to be a professional person to help them change that state of mind that they've developed mm-hmm. from living out there, because it's about survival too. And until you can deal with that, trying to pull them in with the rest of mm-hmm. of the veterans who are not in that condition, then, you know, it's not going to work. You have to get them the professional mental health help that they need mm-hmm. to get them on that road to recovery. And it's a big job. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. it's not something simple. It has to, somebody has to do it. Because if not, it's getting worse. Because as more people come, you have more people living out on the streets. You have more filthiness. I'm down in the Skid Row area. And so, you know, you see it, you smell it, you hear it. And it's just craziness. You know, I read an article by a police officer that said that it was in an asylum without walls.
Mm-hmm. Officer Joseph.
Yeah, and so that's what you have happening. Mm-hmm. And you know, you got to have professionals come in to deal with the people. And then those who are not at that level, who are just in shelters, you got to find them, you got to get them into something that they're interested in doing, get the training that they need. You got to get them out of this, they're just collecting a paycheck from this and they're collecting a paycheck from that. You got to show them that it's beyond themselves. It's not just about them, and they get comfortable. Some of them have gotten very comfortable with the little check they're getting for SSI, the little check they're getting for this, and they're quite happy, But life is beyond themselves. They're not an island, so they need to grow and expand. And you talk about the businesses. It's like the business acumen you have out here in the streets. If you could use that where you can develop jobs for other veterans and other people, then guess what? Your life becomes fuller and more worthwhile, because you're helping somebody else. And so you have to change the whole mindset of people.
I was going to say, just to add on to that, when she talked about getting a professional, I think you may need to look for someone who has now become maybe a counselor or a therapist who used to live in Skid Row. That gives them more credibility. That gives them someone that they can say, well, in the sense that they're, maybe it'll help them not feel so as they're being judged. Mm-hmm. This is somebody that came from where they are, and they took the steps to make improvement in their life. And so I think something like that might get them to listen more and be more receptive to what you're trying to do.
Now, the religious organization, because like I said, we got a program here this coming Friday at 3:00, and we'll be talking about a lot of these things. And I know the church is trying, the religious organization is trying to get a look at what kind of pattern that they would lay out here. Where would they find, should they look for this type of specialized help within the orbit of their congregation, their particular congregation?
Not necessarily. I think they just, I have mixed feelings about
the religious
aspect. And the reason being is because I've dealt with a few churches who wanted to do a women's program, a women veterans program. But they wanted the woman vet to come in and create a program for them. But they wanted them to volunteer. They wanted them to volunteer, but then the church got money to create the program, but then you want the woman vet to come in and volunteer
for nothing
to create the program. And I told them, I'm like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Come on now. You got grant money. Why don't you pay them to even as being a consultant or give them a stipend, and they'll create a program for you. But, they've already feel used. Now you're using them again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the majority of the feedback that you got from a lot of the religious organizations, churches and stuff?
Well, not feedback, but that was the conversation. That was the conversation. They wanted the woman vet, including myself, to come in and volunteer
to create a program,
but they received grant money to create a program, but they didn't know how to create it.
Okay. They didn't know what issues to address.
They didn't know what issues to address. So pay a woman vet that, and there's some of them out, there's a lot of them out here that would gladly create a program for you, but pay them.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you got to give them $100,000, because, that's not it. You can pay them $1,000. Mm-hmm. And they would be glad to create a program because it's going to benefit. And they would give you a fabulous program for you. But don't use them again. And that's just, that's my own. Sorry.
Well, if we can get more.
I have no problems with the churches or faith-based organizations or anything wanting to help people. But don't use people. That's all I'm saying.
And all if we could get more churches involved, I think that would make a big help, to the veteran community. Mm-hmm. If we can get more churches involved, actually, involved because they have the veterans in their congregations. I don't care if it's a little church on the corner or if it's a fantabulous mega church. Mm-hmm. You know, you got veterans there. You got That's veterans right. who are qualified to help those other veterans, too. And, you know, I also think a lot about, like you were talking about, all of us working together. You know, if we had more veterans coming together to create businesses and to make sure other veterans have the knowledge that they need to get what they need, mm-hmm. We can make great strides in making some changes. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I have a business and I say, okay, I'm going to hire veterans, and she has a business and she hires veterans, and you have a business and you hire veterans, and we're all working together, mm-hmm. You know, change can happen. Because that might inspire one of the veterans you've hired to go do their thing, too. Mm-hmm. And they hire some veterans. You know, it's almost like this handout mentality of we're waiting for somebody else to do it. And we have to do it. We have to be the ones to get together. Like she mentioned earlier about a lot of the organizations, they want to help veterans, but they don't hire veterans. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you're helping me, but you're not hiring me, you know. We have a program that's veteran to vet. It was all vets, but now it's not. You know, our spouses are vets, but now that has changed. And so, you know, it's like, well, that's one less vet or two less vets that get hired because you hired somebody that's not a vet, you know? And so it's important that we as veterans get the knowledge, get the understanding. And I agree with you about us coming together. Mm-hmm. It's like if we have seminars of all veterans working on and have veterans entrepreneurs who already have businesses coming and talking to us.
Right, and being mentors.
Right, and
mentors
inspiring
to other
us.
Vets.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, it's like, hey, you can do this. You know, right. We know how to take orders. We know how to give orders. We know how to, you know, keep things in line and do what we need to do to get it done. Mm-hmm. So it's like we...
Get the mission done.
Right.
And that's why this tech talk thing that we're putting together is within the orbit of the Veterans Community Theater Workshop mm-hmm. over there that we got it. So you guys should definitely be at the forefront because, see, all of the support and stuff that was going to be coming to veterans for the different show hosts and stuff mm-hmm. like that, one of the main emphasis, because it is a veterans workshop, mm-hmm. you know, that we're doing this retreat under, you know, so... We really hope and expect you guys to take totally advantage of that because this is where we're going to pursue the support, the funding, and all that kind of stuff for expanding your show to help veterans.
Okay.
And thereby helping all the other ones.
I put it down on my calendar.
Yes.
February 4th.
Yes. February 4th. We're going to get something in. Oh, okay, look like we're winding down and we're almost at the end. You're going to want to go with some... closing comments before we close.
I just wanted to make an announcement. I was just looking at my paper, and mm-hmm. you mentioned about the SBA lending. Mm-hmm. Actually, Wednesday, January 14th, there is a little class, Understanding SBA Lending. Now, this is not geared toward vets, but it's still mm-hmm. the SBA. It's at... the Business Enterprise Center, which is located at 6109 Southwestern Avenue. It's Wednesday, January 14th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Mm. And they're going to have a presenter from Chase Bank and someone from the SBA finance section to discuss understanding SBA lending.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And that's one of the... like we talked about, the SBA will help you
business plan,
business wise.
We'll get the word out.
Yeah, and that same place has entrepreneur classes mm-hmm. That you can take on Saturdays. I think it's 2 hours, mm-hmm. 2 to 3 hours on Saturdays for about 3 Saturdays. Entrepreneurship training classes mm-hmm. that will help you. Know what you need to do, make some decisions, and help you to focus on how to get started and what specifically you need to focus on.
Okay.
So there's help out there, veterans. Don't give up. Rick, thank you for calling in. And, hey, you know, there's housing for you. Give me a call, And I'll be glad to do what I can to get you situated because somebody did it for me. And, you know, we want all veterans to know that there's help for you in some kind of way. Mm-hmm. Just find one of us, myself, Teresa, or Irene, and we will try to do our best to help you.
Can you give me your contact information one more time?
My number at the Central Library, 213-598-4046, and that's Teresa Thompson.
And you can find us at the Veterans Advocacy Connection on Facebook, on as well as on Twitter, Veteran Advocacy Connection. Let us connect you to the resources that you need.
Okay. Thank you, Irene and Teresa. And I would like to extend a special thanks to Irene Cruz and Teresa Thompson and my co-hosts, Earlene Anthony. Please listen to past shows of the Qumran Report by Googling in Qumran Report. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report. And from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. I leave you with Dr. Martin Luther King talking about righteousness.
Somebody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you're too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power, and I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. Be still and know that I'm God. The promises of the Great Society have been shut down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home. Though the civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration, that's their business. But I'm afraid that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice.